I'd like you to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33 verses 1 through 3 are our text for this afternoon. Jeremiah 33 verses 1 through 3. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Let's just pray together and ask the Lord to bless us as we look into his word. Our Father, we're thankful this afternoon for so many abounding blessings that have been coming our way throughout this Lord's Day. We see the bright sunshine coming through the windows. We see the faces of our dear brethren. We are looking into your word. We're learning about Jesus Christ today. Lord, we're a blessed, we're a privileged people. And now we ask that in this afternoon session and sermon that you would be with us, you'd strengthen us, give us understanding and focus that we might learn from your word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. My topic and sermon title this afternoon is simply this, praying for great and mighty things. And I'll probably just keep my hand right here because I have this fear that the platform is going to fall over. So I kind of hold it still. So anything. But my topic for you this afternoon, our sermon message, is praying for great and mighty things. It has been a special privilege for our family to be here and to have this chance again to minister God's word to you as the Lord's people. We've been praying for you, for the Lord to meet your needs and to help you. And so it's exciting to every time I have to be able to come and give God's word, open up the scriptures, hopefully point you to promises of scripture, point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, help you to grow in your love for the word of God. But this afternoon, I want us to remind ourselves that there never is a time when we don't need to be reminded of the privilege that we have as the Lord's people to pray to him. It's a great privilege that we have. It's not a small privilege, but one that is very special and important to us as the people of God. And it may be this afternoon that while you're thankful in Jesus Christ and you're abounding in him, yet at the same time, you're needing guidance from Christ. You're needing direction in his will. And we all know that as we're in those times of crisis or those times of seeking the Lord, maybe for a job, maybe for something about our home or something about our family, that we need the Lord to direct us. We need for him to guide our way. And I think you all know that that's done, of course, through prayer and through studying the scriptures. As we look into the Word of God, we begin to turn to Psalms and we begin to turn to the epistles and we go to the Old Testament looking for biblical principles and then praying over them so that we can find God's will for our life. But it can be very difficult, can it? It's not like there's a chapter or a verse that tells us where we need to move or where we need to go to college or whatever the case may be. And so what do we have to do? We have to take up secret prayer, don't we? And we have to take up family prayer. And we may even bring that request to the assembly so that they can pray for us as well. And we're always praying through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, seeking him. And then as we begin to seek him, what do we do? We begin to brainstorm our stewardships and our gifts and our limitations and the cost as we're weighing out all of God's will so that we can make the right decision and so that our decisions can be those that please him. Very much like Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, where it talks about us renewing our mind. We renew our mind through the word of God and then we make decisions. Well, this afternoon, I want you to think with me about several basic biblical principles from this text about prayer and about the will of God. The first principle that I want you to think about with me is, as you may be in a time of decision or a time of asking the Lord for direction, I want you to take confidence in God's timing. I want you to take confidence in God's timing. You see, God is sovereign. That is, He's ruling, He's reigning, He's over all the decisions of your life. He in a wise way is planning and directing everything that's going on in your life. All the small decisions, all the large decisions, from eternity past to eternity future, all of those decisions are in the overall purposes and plan of God. Now come to our text, Jeremiah 31, verse 1. It says this: "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison." And I want you to notice that in this verse it says that Jeremiah was in prison when the Lord revealed himself to him, and that it was on the second time. If you go back to chapter 32, you can see what the vision was that the Lord was showing to Jeremiah. The vision was that God was going to restore Israel back to the land. He was going to be blessing them. He was going to be showing, verse 7 says, "I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and rebuild those places as at the first." And that was what was the gist, if you will, in chapter 32 of what the Lord revealed to Jeremiah. But now it's been a period of time, and the Lord has now come back to Jeremiah and is revealing this vision, is giving this vision, is giving this truth to him again this second time. And maybe for some of you this afternoon, as you've been making decisions, there's been decisions where you thought you were going to make them. They seem to be clear. And then the Lord has had that you would put them on hold. And now again, He's coming, as it were, a second time, for you to reconsider the decision, reconsider what you need to do, reconsider your future in that particular area. It might be changing a job. It might be an important decision at your workplace. But whatever it is, you can tell that in this particular time, the Lord is challenging you, and he's causing you to think more about this decision that's in front of you. But what I want you to see from the text is how the Lord has come to Jeremiah to help him, and how the Lord comes to us in the very specific time that we need help and we need aid and we need encouragement to give us the direction and to give us the way by which we are able to make those decisions that are in front of us. You see, the Lord is coming to reveal himself to Jeremiah when he's in prison. He's shut up in prison, where it would seem that none of the purposes of God can be unfolding. None of the purposes of God can actually happen. I mean, how can God restore the people? How can God build the land? How can God do any of those things when Jeremiah is shut up in prison and the people are about to be taken captive into Babylon? But what we're going to see a little bit later is that the God who we serve is so much greater and so much greater than anything we can possibly imagine. So Jeremiah is having the Lord in verse 1. The Lord is coming to him again to show him his purposes, to show him the Lord's promises, and to bless Jeremiah. And I want you to be encouraged this afternoon in your circumstances and in your place where you are, at your workplace, in your home, that the situation, if you will, or the knot is not so tied so tightly that the Lord our God can't come with His aid and with His comfort and with His word to be near to you and to help you. Matthew Henry says, "No bars can shut out God's presence." No bars can shut out God's presence. And we've certainly heard testimony, even of us, the Lord's people, that those who've even been in extreme illness and sickness have still been able to know the Lord's presence and the Lord's aid. Paul says it in a different way, doesn't he, in Philippians 4 and verse 13. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So I just encourage you this afternoon not to be afraid of the Lord's timing. We can often be like the disciples, can't we, when they were in the boat with Jesus. And can't you see it with me? You're out on the lake. These are experienced fishermen. They're not just like me. I think I've caught 2 fish in my entire life, and I was 3 when I caught them. So I probably had 8, you know. But these are experienced fishermen. They're out on the boat with the Lord Jesus. And this what? This great windstorm, much like we've had over the last 12 or 15 hours. And the wind beats against the boat, beats against the boat, beats against the boat. And you can see the boat going up and going down and the waves crashing against the ship. And what do the disciples do? Well, they run to the Lord who's asleep. Master, we're perishing. But you know, quite honestly, in the whole time, they were just as safe. They were just as safe as when the winds were blowing against them as when the waves were stopped. And Jesus says to them, "Oh, you of little faith." Because he's not really asleep. He's waiting. He's going to work. And so think about this principle. Take confidence in God's timing as you're making the decisions. But then secondly, and maybe more importantly, take confidence in God's character as you work through the decisions. Now, I want you to look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "Thus says the Lord who made it." I think the ESV actually says, "Thus says the Lord who made the earth." Think about that. Thus says the Lord who made the earth. God is reminding Jeremiah that he is the Almighty God, that he's full of all power and all might. He's created everything that we see, all the heavens, all the earth. And so even though Jeremiah is in prison, God comes to Jeremiah and reminds him of who he really is. The prison is no limitation to who God really is. It could mean, this verse could mean, "Thus says the Lord who made it." It could mean, "Thus says the Lord who made it." That is, that this vision of the restoration of Israel and the exile is going to happen. And we know from Ezra, Nehemiah, that actually did happen. That they did come back to the land. They actually did build the temple. They actually did build walls and build houses. So it could mean the Lord who is the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord who made the earth, or it could be the Lord who's established the vision. Either way, what God is saying to Jeremiah is that he is full of power and he's full of ability in this situation, even though Jeremiah is in prison and it looks like the Lord cannot give aid or help. But if that's not enough, if that's not enough for the Lord to tell Jeremiah, and by inference to tell us, the Lord says this: "The Lord is his name." That's what he says to Jeremiah, "Jehovah is my name. I'm the covenant-keeping God. I am the I am that I am." And as I was thinking as we began the worship service this morning, you can only imagine Jeremiah maybe going over in his mind all of the ways that the Lord had taken care of Israel. He had taken care of Israel through the Red Sea and sent them a messenger like Moses. The Lord had taken care of Israel by helping them cross the Jordan River and take over the land. The Lord had been with Israel with king after king and with deliverance after deliverance. And so the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Jehovah is my name, Jeremiah. I am God. I am that I am. I can be trusted, Jeremiah. I've been keeping my covenant. You don't have to worry." In other words, the Lord, and for us this afternoon, the Lord has all of the resources at his disposal to do some very incredible things for Jeremiah and for his people. Let me say it again. Too many bowls of soup, right? The Lord has all of the resources at his disposal to do some very incredible things for Jeremiah and for his people. The Lord is not limited. The Lord can come and in this case bring encouragement to a servant who's in prison, who's shut up in a prison, by bringing promises from his word. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, "But our God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases." You see, for Jeremiah and the same for us, before we get to verse 3 where it tells us to call unto God And he's going to do some pretty remarkable things. Before we get to that, we need to be reminded of God's love and care and control. We need to be reminded of who our God is. And though certain situations may seem impossible, we serve a very strong and we serve the living God. So the second principle that I want you to see from this text is just simply to take confidence in God's character. Now, a lot of you have been brought up in the church a long time, been Christians a long time, but I bet you were like me. You haven't thought very much about verse 1 and about verse 2. You've just gone to 3. And all you've really thought of is this: pray to the Lord and He'll answer my prayer. Maybe. But when you start getting into this text, you start to see that there's so much more in the text that the Lord is trying to show us His people. The third principle that I want you to see is take confidence in prayer and be ready for the Lord to teach you. Take confidence in prayer and be ready for the Lord to teach you. Look again at verse 3. Verse 3 says this: call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Now look at those first words, call to me. Here we have our great weapon of prayer. The Lord is saying to Jeremiah, and He would say to us if we looked at other texts, He's saying, call out to me. Cry out to me. Pray to me. Seek me. Devote yourself to me. And whom is Jeremiah addressing? Well, the Lord is saying to Jeremiah, call to me, the God of the universe, the one who made all things, the one who's sustaining all things, the one who sent for us, the one who sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior, the one who knows the need of orphan and widow far better than we could ever know, the Lord who knows what's best fit for us, the one who can work on our mind and our emotions and our will. The Lord says to Jeremiah, call out to me. And so this afternoon, I just challenge you. Are you so worried about your calling that you've forgotten who you're calling to? It's the Lord that you're calling to. And sometimes we're all bent up out of shape about our calling and how we're asking and how we're saying and is it right? The Lord says to Jeremiah, I want you to call, to shout out your voice to me, and I will answer you. So think about it. Are you focusing too much on you and not upon the God to whom you're calling to? But now listen to what this God says. The God who is the covenant-keeping God, the God who is the creator God, the God who will bring the people of Israel back to the land. God says to Jeremiah, if you'll call to me, I'll answer you. It's an amazing and powerful statement. And we don't want to move too quickly from it. God says to Jeremiah, I am going to answer your prayer. I'm going to hear what you are asking of me. If you cry out to me, I'm going to bring the answer. I'm going to bring the decision for you. And in fact, the Lord says, not only am I going to answer, but then He goes further and He says, I'm going to show you. That is, I'm going to reveal some things to you. I'm going to present some things to you. I'm going to demonstrate some things for you. So He's saying, call to me and I will answer. And then that's kind of where we tie it up. God's going to answer our prayers. But if you look at the text, the text actually says, call to me and I will answer you. But then not just that, I'm actually going to show you some things. In fact, I'm going to show you some things that are great. That is, they're full of weight. They're astonishing things. And you can imagine as this vision came the second time to Jeremiah, they must have seemed astonishing things. If you were in prison this afternoon and I said to you, you're going to be out of prison, you're going to live in a very nice house, you're going to have these blessings, and you were in prison and there looked to be no chance of you getting out of prison, you'd look at me and you'd say, it's not possible. But God is saying to Jeremiah, no, I'm going to show you some things that are actually going to be great. They're going to be full of weight. And as you're the Lord's people this afternoon, hasn't He done that for you already in your life? Hasn't He shown you some great things? Can't you go to this scripture and say, as I've called out to Him, I've seen some things in my life where He has actually shown some great things to me, things that were full of weight. And then He goes on and the Lord says, in fact, I'm going to show you mighty things, things that are full of my power. In fact, He says, they're going to be things that you don't even know. And that's what has been a great encouragement to me as I've looked at this verse. Because brethren, this afternoon, there are just some things that we don't know. There's some things that we don't understand. There's some situations that are just so hard. And we're crying out to God and we're calling out to Him. And we need Him what? We need Him to show us some things that at this point in our Christian walk, we just don't get it. We just don't know. We just don't have that amount of maturity or wisdom or understanding from the Word of God. But we want it, right? And so we're calling out to Him and we're seeking Him with all of our heart. And He's saying to us right here that if we call in this way, if we're passionate about Him, we're panting after Him to know that He is going to do some things in us so that He is actually showing us things that we need. Things in fact that at this point we don't even know. Like revival. How about that? That's a great and mighty thing that at this point we've not known. Or maybe it's the conversion of a friend or a loved one or a relative or a work associate. It could be a number of things. At times, I believe, dear brethren, we can feel very much like Jeremiah. We're shut up to the Lord as we are making our decisions. Let me show you a New Testament text. You'll know it, but I'll have you turn over to it. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If you're seeking God's will this afternoon, if you're seeking His way, you want to follow Him, you want to do what He commands, keep seeking Him, keep following Him. He promises from His Word that He will freely give you all things. How about Ephesians chapter 3? Turn over there just to see it again. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that we could ask. And then there's the same idea or even think. According to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And then one last verse, John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Brethren, there are many steps of faith. There are new jobs. There's moving. There can be changing and changes. It could be new towns or places we want to move to, new doctors. But as we're making those decisions, we can be confident that as we call upon our Heavenly Father, He is going to answer us. And He is going to show us some things, some great things and some mighty things that maybe we don't even know. Last Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, Lori and I were having some prayer in the morning, and I have a work associate who is not able to teach this coming spring and do the supervision of student teachers. And it's really stressing me out, maybe like some things that have been stressing you all out that you have in your life and heart. And I have to be honest, I wasn't as full of faith as I need to be in that decision, in that situation. And so we prayed together. And Lori, in prayer, simply said, Lord, help Stephen in this decision and help him to have someone by the end of the day. That's what she prayed. Now, that was Wednesday, okay? And that was a good prayer, right? But, I mean, will God answer by the end of the day? Well, it was a very hectic day. We have a lot going on with the new hire. Had a number of meetings. And one of my colleagues, our department chair, emailed me and said, you know, Stephen, if you know anybody, email them. So I thought in my mind, well, I'll email them. So I took out my phone, happened to have both of that person's email addresses, sent them an email. And then I went to the next meeting. I got an email back from that person. Oh, sure, Dr. Burr, I'd be glad to talk to you a little bit more. Did I happen to have 30 or 40 minutes to call this person a little bit later? Yeah, so I called them up. They picked up the phone. I said, well, I've got a supervision position in the winter, spring. Are you interested? Oh, yeah, I'd be glad to do it. Like, wait a minute. I mean, we prayed, but yeah. Wait a minute, let's see what's getting here. So I got off the phone. So then I had to call the department chair, who is not usually there on Wednesday. He usually works from home. So I called up Rich. I said, Rich? I said, we've got someone. Rich picked up the phone. He's like, I'll call Stephen. He called within the night. And I had an email either that night or the next morning, and the prayer was answered. I went to the Lord. He said, we got an answer to prayer. He said, the Lord said, call to me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Okay, well, fast forward to this Wednesday. So Lori had a lot on her plate on Wednesday. So I thought, well, I'm going to ask the Lord. I'll say, Lord, help us to know by the end of Wednesday or Thursday morning if Lori can come on the trip with us. And so it didn't happen by the end of Wednesday, but by Thursday morning, I got a call from someone who could help for the college lunch. And so by the end of the day, it was beginning to look like, and the answer was there. Now, I know that doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen in every situation. But brethren, let's call on the Lord. Let's each one of us determine that we're going to call upon Him. And we're going to trust that He will answer our prayers. And it may be a small thing, like who's going to teach in your department, like mine, although it's not too small, but, or it could be if you're going to go on a trip, or it could be at your work. Some of you men, you've got some big decisions at your work. You've got papers you've got to fill, you have surgeries you've got to do. You've got specific things. And so what do? We call out to God for those things. We ask Him. We ask Him for help. We ask Him for safety. We ask Him for blessing. And we can trust Him that as we call out to Him about the nitty-gritty of our life, that again and again He's going to answer us. Now, He doesn't always have to answer the way we want, and He doesn't answer always the way we want. But sometimes He shows us great and mighty things which we do not know. You see, for Jeremiah, as he received this promise, just to say it a third or fifth time, he was in prison. And yet the Lord was coming to him. And you may be in a great strait too. But the Lord can come to you with His encouragements and with His word, that He will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That He will teach you and help you to understand His ways. I'll just close with this verse from Psalm 119, verse 65. And 66. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. So three principles, just quick, but good principles this afternoon. Take confidence in God's timing. Take confidence in God's character as you work through your decisions. And take confidence in prayer. But be ready for the Lord to teach you. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful this afternoon that we could call out to you in prayer. We're thankful for how again and again you've answered our prayers as a congregation, as individuals. We're so thankful that we can pray through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, our Father, for your people this afternoon, if they have decisions that are weighing on their minds, things at work, things at home, cause them to call out to you and have communion with you about those decisions, about those ways, to seek and study your word, and to see you answer in that good and wise way. We thank you for this Lord's Day that we've had together to worship, to seek and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, to fellowship with one another, to love one another. And oh, it makes us long, our Father, for that day when we will be with you forever and ever with all of those whom Christ, you have died for. And so we pray now for your blessing upon the rest of this day. Seal your word to our hearts. Fill us with more love. To thee, O Christ. Amen.